My name is Margaret, and I'm a food addict and compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful to be here. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 1984. I weighed 225 pounds. I was 30 years old and very desperate. After about 8 or 9 months in the program and not eating sugar and flour and weighing and measuring my food, I lost 100 pounds. 90 of those pounds have stayed off for 20 years. Very grateful for that. I was born in New York State in 1953. I was adopted as well as another baby by my mother and father. And, you know, we lived in a little town in New York State out in the country. It was a very small town. And, you know, and as far back as I can remember, I had fear, doubt, and insecurity. My earliest memories are of me, you know, bouncing up and down in the crib and, just being afraid of everything, afraid of people, afraid of the boogeyman, afraid of water, the doctor, you know, whatever it is, you know, I just had a lot of fears. And I remember one time my father, I thought there was a snake in the closet or something. And, so my father, came into the room and, he took me downstairs, and the leftovers came out of the fridge. And, it's just like, these are the kinds of things, that I remember, about growing up. And, it's like the little triggers about food. When we used to go to restaurants, they'd have a children's menu and, regular menu, and my father would say, she doesn't eat from the children's menu, just the adult menu, and he'd be all, happy about that, and, my mother worked, she worked around food, she cooked and, whatever, and I remember this one particular place she worked, was like a dairy place. So every night, that's where you'd find us, at the dairy place getting, whatever. And, I just remember feeling very isolated, just very into myself, into my own head and, whatever. And the other thing I did, growing up was I was fascinated with medicine chests. I would look and go through our medicine chests. If we were visiting people, I'd go through their medicine chests. And I would, take things, whether it was baby aspirin, cough medicine, X-lax. I think the only reason I didn't hurt myself was because I was afraid if I took too much of anything, somebody would notice, and I was very into, sneaking things. So, so I did a lot of that. The disease was there. I was a little gossiper in the first grade. I remember, this other little girl, being mad at me because I had, gossiped about her. We were in the brownies together, and her mother used to give me a ride, and because I had gossiped about her, she wasn't going to give me a ride anymore. So, I've had this disease. I've had the mentality from the beginning. I mean, there's no question in my mind, of who I am today, and, it's like always been there. But the first 9, 10 years, I mean, I would say I was content, it was okay, it was okay, and, but it was about 10 or 11, I went to Catholic school, and I had a best friend, and I hadn't seen her all summer, and when we got back to school that September, she had lost 20 pounds over the summer, and it triggered something in me, that starting that dieting mentality, and I started, I think, with the grapefruit diet or something like that. And little did I know I'd be spending the next 20 years binging and starving and being in the throes of this disease, because when it got me, took me with a vengeance, and that's how it started, with the dieting. Then I started, exercising, I mean, I ran around my house like a nut, trying to burn it off, you know, whatever it was. I was very obsessed, you know, with my body. I constantly on the scale, constantly trying on clothes to see, you know, from one hour to the next whether they fit differently. You know, just constantly obsessed. And, you know, and I did a lot of different things. I smoked, I drank, I ate. You know, I had, there was a teenage boy next door to us, you know, and we did a lot of exploring, you know, with each other. And, you know, and it's like I couldn't have stopped that either, you know, and it just, you know, just what happened. And I guess the most painful part of the whole thing was the mental obsession, you know, the mental depression that really just, you know, took over, you know, the suicidal thoughts, you know, just this feeling of being alone and isolated and self-pity, you know, the whole nine yards that's associated with this disease and, you know, and trying to figure it out, you know, being afraid to voice, you know, what was going on in my head, but, you know, and just not, you know, just feeling trapped. Trapped in my head, trapped in my body, you know, and always, you know, looking for relief. I was a thief. I stole food. My aunt and uncle had a place next to us, and we only were there on the weekends. We had the key. You know, I was over there in their cabinets, you know, taking whatever. When I babysat, you know, I was standing on their counters, going to the tops of their shelves. You know, looking for stuff. You know, that's who I am. I somehow managed to get through high school. I was probably around 170 pounds. My sister was obese. She was close to 300 pounds when she graduated from high school, you know. So that's the other side that kind of that kept me sick because I always compared myself to her. I was, oh, I'm not as bad as. You know, I'm not as bad as, you know, but I was right there whenever, you know, there was food, you know, or alcohol or cigarettes or whatever, you know, it just, you know, it hadn't, just wasn't on my body as much as it was on hers. And, you know, and again, you know, this feeling of superiority on one hand and this feeling of insecurity and not as good as, you know, on the other hand, always the extremes, never in the middle. You know, so I graduated from high school. I had a scholarship, you know. I don't know if I thought I was too good for the community college. I have no idea, but I didn't even take them up on it. You know, I decided to go off to work because my mother wouldn't let me sit around the house. So what I did was, like I said, I lived in New York State. I went off to New York City and got a job, and I thought I was, you know, the cosmopolitan woman. And I shopped in all the nice little stores. I went to all the nice little restaurants. And several times my boss had to put me in a cab to the train station because I was too drunk to work. You know, and I wasn't even 21 years old at this point. I was on a commuter rail, and, you know, and it was just loaded with addiction, you know, whatever there was, gambling, drinking, smoking, you know, extramarital affairs, whatever there was, you know, I was doing it, you know, and again, I wasn't even 21 at the time, and, you know, but it catches up with you, you know, things aren't going according to plan, and, you know, so what does the good addict do? I decided to move to Boston, and, you know, and I came with me on the package deal, and, you know, and the same stuff, you know, just with different people. You know, now I have a roommate, you know, and she's coming home and finding me passed out. She's coming home and finding food missing. I'm giving her the silent treatment, you know, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, it's just the same stuff, you know, in a different location with different people, and I ended up meeting my future husband. He was in AA, and I went to some meetings with him, and I went to some anniversaries, and I decided this was all nice for these people. Wasn't it wonderful? I mean, if you hear stories at AA meetings, I mean, they can be pretty, you know, dramatic. You know, people have been arrested, people have died, you know, from, you know, alcohol, you know, whatever. And, it wasn't me, you know, so I didn't allow myself to identify with them, you know. And my future husband, I mean, he was a barroom brawler, you know. He kicked people around, you know, and that wasn't me, you know. So I figured I didn't qualify for that, you know. Little did I know. But he wasn't drinking, so we became eating buddies, you know, and that's what we did. You know, we spent a lot of time at fast food places, and I still drank, I still smoked, I still ate, I did pot, hashish, speed, whatever you wanted, you know, whatever it was to pass out, I did it. And, anyway, we did end up getting married. It was a very destructive relationship. He was not drinking, but he had other, you know, issues. And, of course, I was an addict and very compulsive, you know, and I ended up, you know, getting pregnant and, you know, communicating this to him. And all he said was, well, when are we getting married? You know, it's like, well, okay. You know, and that's when we very compulsively did that, or I did that, you know. So it just lasted long enough to have two sons, and, you know, I was lucky to, you know, leave that relationship with my life and my two sons' life, because, as I said, it was very destructive. And, again, I went on my merry way, and, you know, trying to put the pieces of my life back together, you know, what little life I had. And I took my two kids, and we lived in Malden, and I went back to work. You know, and I went to daycare. And, you know, and I remember that first day on the job. I'll never forget it. And I had, you know, I just had a baby like 6 weeks before that, so I didn't really have any clothes that fit. I just had, you know, the usual muumuu. You know, and I had a T-shirt underneath it, and, you know, and it smelled like baby. And, and I remember I was at a bank in Boston, and I remember looking around, seeing all these people with lives, and, you know, just being so well-dressed and happy, and, you know, and I was terrified. You know, I was absolutely terrified. You know, here I was in charge of these two small children. One was 17 months, and one was, like, 6 weeks old, and I was terrified. And and I look back on that time, and it's like, you know, I made the decision, you know. And yeah, I was in this disease, and, you know, I was powerless, and, you know, I didn't know. And a lot of what I've experienced in my life, a lot of the pain that I've experienced, and a lot of pain that I've, you know, given other people, is by my own hands. You know, and it took me, you know, a long time to realize that. You know, I don't regret the past, but I recognize it, you know. And if it was that bad then, I can't imagine what it'd be like, you know, 20 years later. So I did end up coming to Overeaters Anonymous in 1980. You know, I read about it in Dear Abby or something, and it said it was patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous, and so I decided to go. And I just, you know, I mean, been to Weight Watchers, and the most I ever did with that was like the once a week deal. Got weighed. Maybe I stayed at a meeting. Maybe I didn't. You know, treated it OA the same way. It was an hour lunchtime meeting, and I wasn't willing to do anything else. I was probably weighing about 165, 170 pounds at that point. And I wasn't willing to do anything else, so I just went home. And I came back 4 years later, 225 pounds. Now I'm convinced. I'm convinced that, you know, this is home. you know, this is home for me. I had spent a whole weekend cooking, baking, shopping, binging, you know, because I was planning to go to this Monday night meeting in Malden, and, you know, I mean, I just stuffed myself the whole weekend, and the lesson I remember is that it still wasn't enough food, because I was still plotting for the one other one. One last one after I left that meeting, and thank you God, I didn't go to the store. I had stuck a spoon in my pocketbook, you know, for the occasion, but you know, I didn't go. You know, something had changed. You know, it was like a spiritual awakening for me. Something had changed inside me, so I didn't go to the store. I just went home, and I went to a meeting the next night, and you know, and I got a sponsor, and, you know, and just, you know, did I want to put down sugar and flour? No. Did I want to weigh and measure my food? No. But it's, you know, we have so many things going on in our head, you know. I had no idea what 8 ounces of a vegetable was. You know, I thought I was going to starve to death on, you know, the food plan. Little did I know, you know. I mean, I don't remember being hungry. I remember going through a withdrawal, you know, just being, you know, edgy and nervous and not being able to sleep. But I don't remember being hungry, you know, and it took a while for the physical withdrawal to, you know, to subside. You know, the mental and spiritual, I mean, to me, those are lifelong, you know. I mean, I'm just going to be, you know, working on myself, you know, till the day I die, you know, because it... You know, life changes, you know, different situations come up, you know, things change, you know, something that didn't occur to me 10 years ago, maybe it's happening to me now, I don't know, you know, my kids have grown, you know, one lives out in California, the other one lives in Malden, you know, and they have lives today, you know. I didn't raise them perfectly. I did the best I could, you know, but grateful for this program, because we would not have been together without this program. I know I would have, somebody would have taken them away, or I would have ditched them or something, you know. You know, that's how bad, you know, it was mentally and spiritually. And I'm just grateful, you know, that I have the life that I have today, you know, sometimes I take it for granted, you know, that when I go to my closet, you know, things just sit, you know, and that wasn't the way before, you know, today I can go to my closet, if I have like some, you know, like a stripe, I can wear it. I mean, that was like one of the rules when you were fat, no stripes going this way, you know, only this way, you know, I remember I had a hairdresser one time, I wanted my hair cut short, and I showed him a picture or whatever, and he said, yeah, it looks good on her, she has a small face, you know, and it's like, you know, people don't say those things to me anymore, you know. One time I went to a dress shop, and somebody, you know, I mean, God bless the proprietor, I mean, it's not really good, you know, business sense, you know, you come up to somebody and say, you know, we don't really have your size here, you know. I mean, I could have been shopping for somebody else. How did I know, you know? But it's like, those are the kind of indignities, you know, that I put up with, you know, having to go to a plus size shop for the first time, you know. I mean, it was angry to have to do that, but grateful for today, you know, that I don't do that, you know, that I have a higher power in my life, you know, that, you know, I'm just so grateful for. I'm grateful to the people in this program. They've just been there for me, you know, all these years. No one's ever, you know, not told me the truth. And I'm just grateful, you know, that I have what I have today. And, you know, and that I know who I am today. Thank you.